Good morning. Welcome to SulAmérica's conference call to announce the results of the first quarter of 2020. Today, here with us, we have Mr. Gabriel Portela, SulAmérica's CEO, and the company's vice presidents. This conference call is being transmitted live through a webcast with an audio and slides deck, and it can be accessed at the company's investor relations website at the address www.sulamerica.com.br/ri. All participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation, and then we are going to start a questions and answers session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need any assistance during this conference call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. SulAmérica's conference call is being recorded, and the audio will be available right after its end at the company's investor relations website. Now, we would like to give the floor to Mr. Gabriel Portela, SulAmérica's CEO, who's going to start the presentation. Please, Mr. Portela, you may start. Good morning, everyone. All our conference calls, I am here today gathered with SulAmérica's executive officers to announce the results of the first quarter of 2020. But today it's different. Each one of us at our own homes, where we have been working for the past 8 weeks to keep SulAmérica in full operation. We started the year dealing with unprecedented situations with the new coronavirus and all the consequences to society after the declaration of pandemic, and more specifically after it arrived in Brazil. We have mentioned a lot in previous quarters our initiatives in technology, innovation, and mobility. They were fundamental in this period for us to succeed, quite successfully actually, to implement all measures necessary to assure quality and continuity of our operations remotely in a fast and seamless process after the activation of our business continuity plan. 100% of our workforce is working from home, safely especially, and with the same engagement and efficiency. We are all connected. We have kept full services to all our members, brokers, and business partners. In spite of a deeply affected environment, our processes are whole. We continue with all strategic movements that were going on, including the process of spinning off and preparation of the completion of the sale of our auto and massified operations to Allianz, scheduled to take place in Q3 20. Also, the completion of our investment in Órama and our divestment from savings bonds. We have implemented many innovations, especially in our health app, with intensive use of technology and connected medicine to leverage even further the strategy of coordinated care to assure access to health to our members in the context of the pandemic. In coordinated care, we already have 450,000 members. And through this strategy, we seek to have high technology support and to connect members so that they have appropriate services. Our video service platform through our health app, Doctor on the Screen, has had about 1,000 daily appointments. Our telephone service channels have received 25,000 calls to give orientation to our members during the pandemic. From the beginning of the crisis to May the 13th, we have had 1,610 hospital admissions. 713 of those needed to be admitted to intensive care unit. Of this total, we are happy to announce that 1,031 members have been discharged well, and unfortunately, 91 of them have died. Obviously, it's not yet possible to measure all the impacts of the COVID-19 crisis and all its consequences. We still believe in the solidity of our operation that is almost 125 years old, and in the strength of our business model, which in the past economic crisis Brazil has dealt with demonstrated its resilience and capacity to go through challenging times. We are confident that we'll come out from this crisis even stronger, operating better and more efficiently, but especially more aware of our role and the relevance of our services to society. Now, I would like you to go to slide 2 of our presentation and to see more details about the initiatives in the context of the pandemic. We have been operating very assertively in the COVID-19 pandemic or epidemic in Brazil to assure care to all our members, customers, providers, brokers, and other partners. Right in the beginning of the pandemic, we started our business continuity plan that is already being used and had been tested in other occasions. And its objective is to assure that we are duly prepared for situations such as the one we are dealing with today. We were able to adapt very fast our operations to a structure that is practically 100% remote. We canceled all our live events, including our shareholders meeting, which will take place soon. And we also canceled all travels and national international events. In addition to the continuity of our operations, the well-being of our employees is a priority. And rapidly, after the second half of March, practically everybody is working from home and safely. In addition, we also complied with the movement Do Not Lay Off, together with thousands of companies in Brazil. Our health and dental operations has the objective of offering high quality of care, and especially at the time of pandemic, we need to be even closer to our members. We have leveraged even further the coordinated care strategy with intensive use of the app for smartphones, with more and more innovation technology, such as the unlimited care through doctor on a screen, elective tele appointments, and expansion of the psychologist on screen to all our members, a pioneering initiative in Brazil, the creation of the telephone medical orientation dedicated to questions related to the new coronavirus, in addition to the assessment of health through artificial intelligence via WhatsApp and the chat in the app, helping in screening members. Risk groups have also gained special attention through the coordinated care group for patients above 60 years of age and/or with comorbidities. We have also implemented the fast track with partner hospitals, facilitating emergency care to our members. In addition to these, other initiatives have been intensified and will be addressed in further detail with the presentation of our health and dental VP. Another measure was the temporary suspension for 90 days of the application of annual adjustments in affinity individual and SME portfolios, contributing for companies and families to make it easier for them during the crisis. As to the pandemic, the number of cases in Brazil is increasing, and we need to observe for how long the situations will continue like this, because the dynamics of the evolution is quite uncertain and very volatile and asymmetrical between the different regions in the country. For the time being, the behavior of our cases of new curves are below the national references. Now, on slide number 3, I will be talking a little bit about our efforts to help society. In this period, we have not just taken care of the health of our members, but have also produced contents and relevant and reliable orientations to everybody. In addition to the role we already play in supplemental health industry, we have encouraged our employees to make donations to the Emergency Fund for Health, Coronavirus Brazil, that invests in research for COVID-19 and also buys and donates personal protection equipment. And the company has allocated 20 times the amount that was donated by our employees, thus totaling 10 million in donations to build a field hospital in Rio de Janeiro and permanent beds in the Santa Casa in São Paulo, all of them dedicated to patients of the Brazilian public healthcare system. I would also to highlight that we are focused on the continuity and sustainability of our business. We are focusing on the preservation of our liquidity and solvency levels with a very solid position to go through the crisis. At the same time, we are monitoring continuously the delinquency rates in our portfolios, analyzing and renegotiation periods with our customers. And so far, we have not identified any significant impact in our operations, neither in our requirements for working capital. I would also like to highlight the new rules for capital requirements defined by ANS resolution, already in discussion, approved before the pandemic, reducing the future requirements for additional solvency funds, a measure that the regulator implemented to converge the capital requirements between health insurance companies and carriers by the end of 2022. Finally, we continue within the schedule to complete the sale of our auto and massified segment. This quarter, we segregate this operation into a new insurance company that has already started operating with processes, people, and systems separately, standalone mode. The transaction follows within planned and the final request for assignment of control has already been filed to SUSEP. Now I give the floor to Ricardo Bottas, our controller, IRO, and CFO, to talk about the main numbers of the quarter. As the time requires, Raquel Diglio, VP of Delta and Health and Dental, will then talk about our actions from the beginning of the pandemic supported in our coordinated care strategy, and we'll also talk about the results of our health and dental operations. And lastly, we move to our Q&A session. Bottas?
Thank you, Gabriel. Thank you very much. Now going to slide 4 and talking about our revenues of the company, 5.6 billion. Real in the quarter, or a 72% increase over the first quarter 19. Health and dental had 9% growth following the pace of previous quarters, as well as all our ASO that had 14% growth. Auto and PSC, there was a reduction in revenues of 5.5% and 17.6% respectively, following the competition of the market and a better risk environment, which allowed this kind of reduction of premium. Pension, 26% growth in revenue, an increase of 8% in reserve, especially for product VGBL. Management asset management, we had growth of 27%, maintaining a positive trend, and we closed the quarter with 43 billion BRL in assets under management, 6% growth over the first quarter 19. Conversely, there was a 6% reduction of the total amount of assets over December 19, primarily due to the strong devaluation in the capital market, especially in the month of March. Now going into slide 6, we're going to go straight to slide 6. Third line, we can see loss ratio, which showed an increase consolidated of 3.4 percentage point, primarily for health and dental, as well as auto, which will be mentioned ahead. The level of SG&A reached 8.2% of revenue, somewhat better than the previous year. Here, I emphasize our discipline and positive performance of controlling this line, because in this quarter, we still had expenses, extraordinary expenses amounting to 15 million BRL related to the spin-off of our auto and PSC, which hadn't been accounted for in the first quarter of 19. Financial result, one of the main negative highlights of the period. As a result of the pandemic, there was 77% drop over the same period last year, combined with a reduction of average interest rate compared to the previous period, in addition to a reduction of variable revenue, leading to a performance of 47.5% over CDI as opposed to 122% in the first quarter 2019. Just to show you the magnitude of our impact, even with variable income assets representing a small portion of our total portfolio, just over 1% of our total portfolio, the gross impact amounted to 72 million BRL negative in the first quarter, concentrated especially in March, leading to the decrease in profits. It's important to highlight that considering the characteristics of these assets and allocation in the different portfolios of insurance, we've maintained materially our positions, and we believe that the recovery will be coherent and in compliance with the recovery of the capital markets. Consolidated gross margin in the first quarter 2020 reached 510 million BRL with 17% over the first quarter 2019, following the increase of the loss ratio of the consolidated period and the increase of loss ratio of dental, health, and auto. Net profit was 79.8 million BRL, a reduction of 64% over the first quarter 2019 because of the decrease in gross margin and the impact on financial result. To finish this slide, we've had a return on average shareholders' equity of the past 12 months of 15.3%, 0.8 percentage point below the same period previous year. I close this part now, and then I'd like to hand it over to Raquel Gilio. He's going to talk about coordinated care within COVID-19 pandemic and also talk about the results of health. Thank you, Botas and Gabriel. Good morning, everyone. Slide 7, we can see all the entry points of access of our beneficiaries. As most of you have heard, we call it Access Arch. Each channel reflects our strategy of virtual verticalization. We understand we have to provide to our beneficiary the best care within the right time and at the most appropriate site, coordinating and supporting their journey. With the beginning of COVID-19 crisis, many of our services had an expansion of care options and as a consequence, an increase in use by beneficiary. Now we have much more digital access. I would like to highlight the scope of these initiatives in a more connective medicine, which may lead to a visit to one of our partnering hospitals. As a result of our robust investments in technology, we launched in the end of March, as Gabriel pointed out, some COVID-19 screening in our health app with a specific button, which was extended to our beneficiaries of dental and also through the WhatsApp channel. The results has been very positive, and we've had over 280,000 access since it was launched. We've expanded our team and we intensified the importance of telephone medical education and the physician or doctor on the screen. Both the amount to over 50,000 contacts, more refined screening, providing education and support at home and avoiding unnecessary visits to emergency departments. Within connective medicine initiatives, we've also started elective teleconsultation using our health cloud platform, reinforcing the strategy of coordinated care. Special attention has been concentrated on chronic and complex beneficiaries, those that cannot make do without medical support, but who did not need to visit a doctor physically. Concerning the physicians of coordinated care, they also get adapted to the new reality because of social distancing, and they could keep on practicing medicine, even though within different formats. It's important to mention that the platform also provides to physicians to write down electronic prescriptions for those that hold a digital certification. Finally, we have a fast-track partnership with 26 partnering hospitals in which beneficiaries screened by our services. When there is a confirmation of the need of an on-site visit, they don't have to wait in line. And once they get to the hospital, they are seen in a most welcoming and fast way. We strongly believe that our strategy of coordinated care has proved to be very robust, providing a quick, assertive response during this moment of crisis. The focus placed on the past 12 months of the Access Arch have proved to be very appropriate, and we should leverage further this strategy, solidifying our virtual verticalization and complete healthcare, always in partnership with our healthcare providers. In slide 8, we can see the results of health and dental in the quarter. We've had revenues of 4.6 billion BRL, with all collective plans showing growth following the trend of previous quarters. We closed the quarter with 3.9 million beneficiaries, 12% growth in our group plans. In health, there has been consistent growth in corporate and affinity, 43,000 new lives over the first quarter 19. SASO also had highlighted performance, adding 26,000 new lives. In dental, there was growth of 26%, considering beneficiaries of Prodente incorporated in the second half of 19. In the fourth quarter 19, there was 3% reduction in number of members, fully concentrated on loss of about 120,000 beneficiaries in dental, which was one single policy, one single client. Now, slide 9, on the upper portion, we have the history of loss ratio of the first half of the year in previous years. And we can say that in the first quarter 20, there has been no relevant effect of the pandemic yet. Postponement of elective procedures have gained relevance just in the last days of March. The most significant impact will be felt as of April, and that will affect our results as of the second quarter 20. Considering the reduction of paid claims, the reduction will only be perceived as of May and June, considering the average payment terms to our healthcare providers. I would also like to highlight isolated seasonal effects, which also explain the increase of 3 percentage points in loss ratio in the quarter over the first quarter 19. First of all, it's important to highlight that the loss ratio of the first quarter 19 was the lowest of the past 9 years. There was also one more calendar day over the first quarter 19, which also has an impact, as we've pointed out in previous opportunities. There is also the calendar effect of Carnival period. People tend to postpone procedures after Carnival. I'll do it after Carnival. So if Carnival takes place in March, which is not so common, and that was the case in 2019, some of the procedures are postponed after this period of holidays. So the longer it takes for Carnival to happen, the more the first term or quarter is benefited. So in the first quarter of 19, the best in the history of 6 years was the only one which had the Carnival season in March. We've also had more medical accounts in the first quarter with more paid claims because of higher frequencies without observing any single concentration or single origin. On the lower portion of the slide, we can see the history of loss ratio for the periods of 12 months. As we always emphasize, regardless of how the variation is, we always recommend the analysis of longer periods to be performed so that we can understand the indicator, to try to isolate seasonal effects such as the ones that I have just mentioned. We've observed that the loss ratio is still under control in 79.7% year-to-date 12 months, which finished in the first quarter 20, very consistently with our planning and the results of our actions. It's also important to highlight that in 2020, the need to analyze the whole film and not the isolated snapshot of the quarter is very evident. No isolated snapshot of a quarter will really give us the right understanding of the year considering the pandemic. Even though we expect a reduction of frequency in the second half of the year, no isolated snapshot will give you the right interpretation of the results of 2020. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Botas.
Thank you, Raquel. Now, moving to slide number 10, I will briefly comment about our results in motor insurance, and then we can move to Q&A. So on slide number 10, and the automobile segment had revenue of 658 million BRL, 5.5% lower than Q1 2019 because of the competition in the market, in addition to the continuous trend of drop of robbery and theft since the beginning of last year, which are then reflected in lower average premium for the policies. The loss ratio in the period was 63.6%, an increase of 4.1 percentage points as compared to Q1 2019, especially due to the strong rains, especially in the southeast of Brazil in January and February, with higher frequencies and severity of the claims as compared to what we had in Q1 2019. At the same time, we have preserved the insured fleet at 1.7 million vehicles in an uncertain and challenging scenario in terms of competition. Lastly, just as health and dental, it's important to highlight that in this first quarter, we do not yet see any significant impact related to the COVID-19 pandemic in this segment because the isolation and social distancing measures only became more intensive towards the end of March, and we will be able to see the impact of that after Q2 2020. Now we move to Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to start our questions and answer session. If you want to ask a question, please press star one. If you want to take your question from the list, please press star two. Our first question comes from Felipe Salomão from Citibank.
Good morning, Portela, Borges, Raquel. Thank you very much for allowing me to ask a question. I have two questions to ask. Number one, are the new capital requirement rules. Could you give us an estimate of how much regulatory capital it will release or free up for SulAmérica in terms of million BRL? Are those rules already in effect? Is this reduction going to be permanent and not something that could be reviewed once the pandemic is over? Question number two regards the mid and long-term consequences of the pandemic. New technologies are being adopted in telemedicine, in terms of medical appointments and assessments. In your opinion, is it already possible to come to the conclusion that these new technologies and this behavior change will help the company to be more efficient and might help company to control health loss ratios? I think that you can already say something. You already have a preliminary assessment of that. You can already see something and think something. For example, in terms of procedures or consultations or something, then the new behaviors of members, maybe it's become cheaper or something. Okay. Thank you.
Salomão, thank you very much for your question. This is Bottas. I will answer your first question, and then Raquel will answer the second question. As to the new rules, the ANS regulation had already been in discussion and was approved just before the pandemic, and its main objective is to change the regulatory rules for capital requirement, changing the solvency margin model. There was a year asymmetry in terms of capital requirement between insurance companies and health plans. It was even before the pandemic, and the principle is to seek the convergence and equality in terms of capital requirements in the supplemental health industry. In your question, you say whether we can already estimate how much is the reduction in capital requirements be, and I said yes, but it's not a reduction in terms of release of capital. This will take place directly, prospectively,
as the solvency margin of our insurance companies are frozen at the face value of solvency margin that we had in March 2020. So this means that there is an important point and a number I'm going to give you here from now on, which is a number that has a level of uncertainty associated to it. And you know the company does not give any guidance as a rule. But preserving our operation model and our growth expectations in terms of revenues and claims and our solvency margin is the reference of our claims history. So considering a claims history pre-pandemic, this would represent into the future until 2022, the non-additional constitution of margins of 35 million BRL. I cannot tell you whether this is going to be the number because now we will need to monitor the impact and the behavior of revenues and frequencies in this area after the pandemic. And when it's going to be effective? So it's going to be effective in April, as of April 2020, and it will converge capital requirements by December 2022, and as of 2023, all players in the system would have similar capital requirements. Now, moving to your second question. Good morning, Solomon. Thank you for your question. Telemedicine specifically, since its approval by a recent ordinance, and that was temporary. But before focusing on telemedicine, I would like to take a look at 1 year ago, talking about video-based orientation to our members through the app. It was already available. It's been available for over a year. What we've been doing after the crisis, we've been reinforcing and strengthening this access arch, very much based on new technologies and digital channels. And there is something that most likely will change after the COVID is the consumption relationship of health consumers in terms of the possibilities they have in hands. So in a video medical orientation that is available 24 hours a day for 100% of our member base, members can even prescribe medications after the approval of telemedicine by the government, which is recent. Also, most of our coordinated care physicians within our tool, they can have appointments, follow-up treatments, also with new members through the tool, working from home with great comfort for members. The number of accesses has increased sharply, both on the side of physicians and members. NPS has been very high, which doesn't come as a surprise. So I think that with that regard, the consumption relationship will change. How much of the migration from live or physical to digital will continue after the pandemic? Well, I feel we're still too early to make any predictions. The scenario is still very volatile. But the consumption relationship in terms of these possibilities, many of them already existed and others are new, has changed. And members are seeing this as a big differential. Thank you. Thank you, Bottas and Raquel, for your answers.
The next question comes from Mauricio Cepeda of Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Gabriel, Bottas, Raquel, all of you. Thank you for answering our questions. I have some questions, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. The first is your perspective for the future, considering that lives in health will be impacted, the number of beneficiaries will be impacted. So tell us about what you expect to do in the future, including share, as you offer a premium healthcare plan much above the average ticket of verticalized healthcare plan companies. Secondly, I would like to hear from you about the motivations of the share buyback program that you have presented. Also, the exposure of financial assets. We know that you've always had very good profitability levels and were exposed to risk. I've heard brokers saying that you were going to repack that with the market. But what is the plan of exposure of those high-risk assets to the market? Is there any perspective of having losses because of life insurance, because of clauses that it has in a claim such as a pandemic, and also pension? What is the kind of perspective of inflow? BGBL has increased, but what is your perspective for the future concerning these products? Bottas, I don't know if you would like to go first. Well, I'm going to talk about the share buyback program, and then you tell us about perspective because it's related with portfolio, consumption, trying to understand. As we've told you before, it's difficult to predict how the consumption behavior will be and the impact that the economic crisis will have and what will be the effect of the pandemic. But still, thank you for the question. And I'm going to go first about the share buyback program. The company, for many years since its IPO, has had open share buyback programs. The last one was completed in 2014. Since then, the value of the company has shown a continuous increasing behavior. And as a result of this effect of market captors and the devaluation, we thought it would be a great opportunity showing that everything we've been doing, the company, in terms of value and perspective, and the current prices might not be fully reflected. And this is why we discussed with the board shareholders and the board of directors to open that and to act should we detect any asymmetry which tends to be more permanent. So we want to have the 18-month plan, which is the maximum allowed period of time, to have a buyback of up to 5% of the unit available in the free float. But just because of that, we have the perception of having a gap between the current value and our initiatives and everything we've been doing. I think in Gabriel's presentation, we made it very clear that all our processes are intact and we really believe in the resilience of our business model. So that's exactly why. Gabriel and Raquel, can you answer the first part of the question? Good morning, Mauricio. This is Gabriel. Well, I think there are two issues which are relevant in your questions. First, our current position. We've never been better prepared than today to further develop our business. Digital tools, everything that Raquel has mentioned back, the Access Arch, our company working at full speed remotely. But of course, the second portion of your question, we know we are going to have a difficult period ahead, but still, nobody knows what the effects will be, in which sectors they'll be more prevalent, etc. The priority is not the share. The priority is to keep on developing. And I'm sure Raquel will talk further about the planning and what we have in place. So concerning your second question, we are prepared not only to go through the period of crisis, but also to emerge strong after it, based on everything that we've developed in previous years and all the tools we have available. The economic component, unemployment rates, economic recovery. And what Raquel has answered in Salomon's question about how the behaviors will, how the beneficiaries will behave, and also how companies will manage the crisis, we don't know. What we know is that we are prepared for the picking up of the economy. We want to overcome the crisis safely, efficiently, and be prepared for the future. Raquel, please tell us more about what we've developed and our strategy, product strategy for health, but not only for health. I think that another part of the question, I guess, Marcelo can also give you some more insights. Thank you, Gabriel. How are you, Mauricio? Good talking to you. Yes, we are analyzing all the possibilities. We know there is going to be an economic recession coming, possibly reducing income of families, providing downgrading, and it reinforces the strategy we've designed. For example, new products being launched, the direct line products. We had the launch of Product Direct in Rio, São Paulo, Curitiba, recently in Campinas, in a partnership with Hospital Vera Cruz. And just looking back, there was one first step of a pilot testing. We had very important findings out of it. First, commercialization was at a corporate level whenever they had over 30 lives covered. But our main focus was to understand the behavior of the product and the relation it had with clients. At that time, we gathered important findings and we made adjustments to our offer, including a maternity in the region of São Paulo, which is Maternity Santa Maria of Group Santa Joana. Even though it was a regional product, we added a benefit of emergency and urgency care covered all over Brazil if the person would be traveling away from home. And then we started offering that also at retail points, especially for SME and affinity. For the next 3 weeks, and as Gabriel has pointed out, we've been working 8 weeks from home. So we've maintained the pace of launch. And for the next 3 weeks, we are going to launch 3 new products. One more in São Paulo, one in Recife, and a third one in João Pessoa. We think that this kind of movement provides flexibility and resilience to really overcome difficulties that our clients might have. And we will maintain our centering thought here that I've shared with you. Our average length of stay is our average period of retention in the company is kind of high. We will really to have a one-to-one discussion to redesign products and offers, maybe offer a downgrading or a reduction of the price readjustment, offering copay, extending contracts, adding dental, because we know everything will be over eventually. And once it's over, we want clients with us. Once they start to grow again, we want them to be with us. So this is our strategy. With that, let me ask Marcelo to jump in and tell us something about life. Thank you, Rachel, and thank you, Mauricio, for the question. You've asked 3 questions. One concerning management of the reserve of the insurance, a second one about life and pension. I'm going to start with the reserves and investments. As Botas pointed out, we've maintained the exposure, which is small in shares, but considering the impact In variable income, our portfolio has suffered significantly, and we thought that would make no sense reducing the position in a scenario of stress. So what we've done were tactic changes in the portfolio. We've left aside some sectors which were highly impacted, for example, civil construction or some financial organizations we had in the portfolio, and increased our positions in more resilient industries. From a macro perspective, the portfolio was maintained. In terms of industry breakdown, there was a reallocation of investments so that we could be aligned with the current scenario. We've also relied on interest rates, not only prefixed, but also those inflation-related bonds, and we have prepared a practical position. You know that the rates have dropped significantly, as you very well know, and it was a good opportunity of buying within a tactic strategy, buying a new position to the insurance company. And we've also started taking a position in credit assets, first-line credit assets, after all the disruption we've seen in the credit market. I'm sure you've noticed the significant number of redemptions, especially in fixed products. It has generated an impact in the pricing. We've observed the movement until it got to a certain level of price from which it makes sense to have a high-quality portfolio with competitive rates for our reserves. So this is what we did and what we've been doing for the past weeks, but always analyzing actuarial liabilities of the legal entities, respecting actuarial liability, and the surplus is used to buy tactic positions. Concerning your question about life, voluntarily we decide to pay damage to our users and beneficiaries once they had the diagnosis of COVID-19 infection. There were some cases, not all that many, and the insured capital amounts are low. There is no relevance here that would require any additional comments. In pension, you've talked about the growth we experienced in the first quarter, which was strong, not only in terms of gross revenue, but also net revenue, one of the best quarters ever. And this gross and net revenue resulted from a portfolio which had been built throughout time, not only with our own products, but also with an open architecture, including new funds, and also the facility we provided to insurance brokers to work with individual life and health products through digital signature. And we've also observed a relevant growth of investment platforms developing and also offering the product of pension. This is a channel that has been growing continuously every quarter, and we've been capturing the benefits of this growth. Concerning pension, this market had been growing strongly in the first quarter and in the end of last year, as it is a market that is correlated with real income growth and reserves. Probably we will see some impact in upcoming quarters. Alternatively, as the interest rate is a very sensitive point in our pension plan clients, the performance of products gets even more important. As we have a portfolio of products that have been performing quite well, I think we can gain more participation through the carryover and the competition. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Guilherme Grespan from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, Gabriel, Bottas, and Raquel. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have two very short questions. First one is regarding the regulation environment. Thinking of the Congress, there are some bills at the Congress addressing the adjustment, price adjustments for health plans, and even cost increase or tax increase for insurance companies. So could you share with us your vision? Which bills do you think are most likely to pass or not? And then number two, as to efficiency, the situation we have today in terms of long-term efficiency, and there are many, many opportunities in terms of efficiency, working from home, new business models. But looking on the short term and imagining that you have 100% of your workforce working from home, is there anything in terms of G&A that could provide potential gains this year? As compared to 2019, any cost allocation that you are expecting a drop in costs? Thank you very much.
Hello, Guilherme, Gabriel, thank you very much for your questions. I am going to divide the regulation environment in three blocks: ANS, SUSEP, that I call the Ministry of Finance. I think that it was announced, and it's been announced since last year that there would be a tax reform. So right now, we are on the eve of the discussion of a tax reform and any of the measures announced. So it's very difficult to tell what will happen. So at SUSEP, and also working remotely, there are many decisions that have been made, delays, deadlines. So we are working very closely together, and everything is very favorable in terms of the environment for P&C life and pension. At ANS, Bottas has already talked about it. The measures that had already been planned before. So at ANS, we haven't seen anything that we would highlight. At the legislative branch, and there are many different spheres, federal, city level, there are many projects. There's a number of bills in Brazil today, and what we are seeing that could cause more concern. So delinquency rate and coverage and things like that, it's really taken for granted that this is a federal discussion. There has been a law since 1999 that rules on everything regarding that. So common sense and people have been very judicious in assessing the supplemental health environment. Although there are threats, and you're aware of all of them, we do not see it with any greater concern. Well, we are always concerned, we should say, but we don't see a threat that would be likely to happen. There's something that we couldn't appeal or argue. Or object to it considering the entire legislative environment. As to efficiency, I think that this has been our trajectory. We have also said in previous conference calls that in spite of all separation of automobile and massified structure in recent times, our aim is to increase efficiency. Of course, there are investments, but as has provided you full visibility of the investments that we have made for the spin-off that will come into effect in the third quarter this year. So this is something that is a constant pursuit of ours, efficiency. So
We want to see which processes were implemented during this period that may become permanent processes with more efficiency, cost reductions, and everything. Everything we've been working in our digital transformation ended up accelerating, and we want to make the most of it. So considering our transaction of Allianz, we will always seek efficiency. This is what we've been doing for the past few years, and this is what we are prepared to do. Obviously, there is a major discussion right now, which is the model for the reopening, not just for us, for the world. So how are companies going to work? How are people going to work? Which safety measures? Probably we will also need to change our work environment than our operation logic. But I would say that similarly to all risks and everything we have said before, in terms of processes, technologies, and operations too, we are very well prepared to continue the pursuit for efficiency as we've been doing for the past years. The next question comes from Samuel Alves from BTG Pactual. Good morning, Gabriel and Bottas, Raquel, Marcelo, everybody. I have two questions to ask. Number one is a health loss ratio dynamics. So you mentioned in your press release and in presentation too, saying that elective procedures are being delayed and there is an increase in admissions due to COVID. We are already in mid-May. So which force will prevail in the second quarter? And a second question related to the first one, could you give us an idea in terms of how much a COVID hospitalization spends, or how much does it cost? Just for us to give a ballpark number. Hi, Samuel, this is Raquel, answering your question. First, the cost of a COVID-19 hospitalization contrasted with a standard elective admission. So surgical admission, especially the ones that use materials and medications that are more expensive, they are always more expensive than a medical hospitalization. COVID admission is essentially medical, but the average length of stay is longer, as we have heard. But the N of cases, although we've seen many cases, there is a gap between the effective occurrence. So they need to send us the bill. There's a whole process. So I do not yet feel confident enough to give you a delta variation between one thing and the other. What you should bear in mind is that an elective admission is cheaper than a surgical admission, but the COVID admissions, there's materials, ventilators, and PPE, might be slightly higher than standard elective admissions. As to frequency reductions that we have been seeing since the second half of March and how this is going to go on into the future, there is a new normal that will be true from now on. And no one is ready to know what will the new normal be. Will people be afraid of going to an emergency department or any hospital? They will think twice before going to an emergency room. Will there be a reduction in emergency admissions? Will there be a reduction in elective admissions? So all of these are unanswered questions to everyone. What we see in terms of reduction of frequency, and here I'm going to stick specifically to elective admissions for surgeries, using the assumptions that they would need to be made. So they will come back. They will come back at some point, and they will come back gradually because hospitals also have a limited capacity.
to accommodate the procedure. So the scenario is still very volatile. We are monitoring the numbers on a daily basis, but then we do not yet have attained maturity numbers, either in terms of frequency of average length of stay for COVID admissions, to give you a more definitive say on that.
Thank you very much, Raquel. Just one additional question, if you allow me. Looking at receivables and the flow of what you receive in health, do you see any increase in delinquency rates as of May?
Well, for the time being, nothing that was relevant. And just complementing the answer about the previous point, the highlight is our focus is on providing appropriate and right care to our members. So the logic of coordinated care and the coordinated care group with increasingly closer contact with our members, especially the oldest ones. So the procedures that have to happen, they have to happen. And we will make a point in talking to people and explaining that. In contrast, behaviors might change from now on. Let's wait and see.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Raquel.
The next questions were submitted by webcast by Joey Columbo Wember Asset Management. The loss of clients in dental, was it due to financial difficulties of clients or have they moved to a competitor? Why was it? Price or any other reasons? Question two, is there any risk in the transition of the auto sale to Allianz? Is there any possibility of it not happening?
Hi, this is Raquel. I'm going to start with the question related to dental. The loss of client was a normal market move. There was an open bid. And as I've emphasized before, we have our pricing strategy, which is sustainable, of really offering the correct price so that we can maintain long-term relations. There was a market bid, and because of a more aggressive proposal of a competitor, the client decided to migrate. Everything within what is expected, we have our goals of loss ratio, of results, and it didn't have any major impact. Let me take this opportunity to reinforce that we have provided in SulAmérica Dental all the medical education that our health beneficiaries have access to, also to dental beneficiaries. So in the app, there is also a communication about COVID-19, and they can talk to doctors or to nurses concerning any symptoms or questions they have about the pandemic. We think that this is a kind of differential element to them, which speaks in favor of SulAmérica's product and really provides long-term retention of clients. Thank you. If there are no further questions, I would like to hand it back to Gabriel Portela. Sorry, operator, there is a pending question to be answered. I would like to ask Dori to answer it. Any risks concerning our operations with Allianz?
This is Eduardo Dori. Good morning, everyone. We have progressed very positively despite all that we've seen today about the pandemic reported to you. We are, from home, taking all the steps required for the closing of our transaction with Allianz, and all of them are within the expected timeline and what we expect to happen. So we are positive that there is going to be a closing on the third quarter 20. there is nothing that seemed to be any against it, anything that we've seen so far, at least. Thank you, Gabriel. So now, Mr. Portela, you can carry on with your closing remarks. It was a different call, after all, but being absolutely sure that we are effectively prepared to deal with all the situation we've been through. It's been nearly 60 days, and at the same time, we have a business model that has been in place for more than a century and really shows us that we are well prepared to overcome and to be better once the crisis is over. To achieve that, we have a full dedication of our 5,400 employees working from home, but showing engagement and pride, really the involvement of our insurance brokers, partners, healthcare providers. We are also helping them, our shareholders, and we really believe that SulAmérica is digital, modern, prepared, and tuned with the reality, and we'll be able to go through this moment of crisis, facing all the challenges that we all have to fight against. Please stay safe. Stay healthy and have a good day. Thank you very much. The conference call of earnings release of SulAmérica is closed now. Thank you very much and have a good day.